Whatever mental health looks like for you, all of us are here for you.
What is your profession?
We will encourage you, inspire you, and build confidence in you to truly be yourself and to tackle the world. Hello there again, and welcome to season 9 of Lobau Spark, the power of friendship. This season will focus on the close relationships we have with each other and the support that is so vital for all of us with ADHD and every neurodivergent. Lobau Spark is proudly supported by Terry Shubilla, Casey Elliott, Sarah Delano, Justin Allingham, Blushing Crafter, Jamie Young, Leo Guinan, and Kirk Hofstrom. Lobau Spark has started a fundraising effort for Crisis Text Line. We have a goal of $19 per episode, as $19 supports one person in their time of absolute crisis with their mental health. If you would like to donate through our fundraiser titled Lauren's Infinity, the link is listed in the episode's description. Lauren was my wife's best friend and loved by all that came into contact with her. The music in this episode is provided by Guy Farmer. Please look him up on iTunes. He is an outstanding musician and also one of my closest friends. Lobau Spark is proudly sponsored by Social Media Gardens, a safe place to promote your content. Today's group episode will focus on neurodivergent tips on organization. We've got ADHD, we have autism, we have a combination of both. And each one of us gives our strategies as to how we view or what we do to improve organization within our own lives. A very special thank you goes out to Blushing Crafter for coming up with this topic. Strong neurodivergents featured in this episode are RJ Zimmerman, Mechie Mancilla, Blushing Crafter, Terry Shubilla, Leo Guinan, Justin Allingham, and Up for the Challenge, otherwise known as Up. Together, we are something for someone. So today's topic is ADHD and organization and shit. Like, I am so bad at this. This topic was brought up by Blushing. So if you want to give a few words on why you chose it and what you do, that would be great. We're going to all go through and say what we do to combat ADHD and autism with organizational problems. So, Blushing, the floor is yours.
ADHD and organization is the double-edged sword. We need it, but we also, many of us are bad at it in the beginning, at least, until we practice ways to make it work. But also, we kind of dislike it very strongly a lot of the time. We need structure, but we don't like structure. Yeah. So that's where I was and kind of am. But I needed things to work out. And obviously, I didn't get diagnosed until this year. But for years and years, I worked to figure out how to make organization in everyday life work, to remember appointments and everything. I used a lot of planners, realized that the pre-made planners never worked for me. I just ended up not filling them in. I did put down times for appointments, but I forgot to look at that. So I used a digital calendar on my phone, which kind of worked. But sometimes I would swipe the reminder away and forget about it. And then almost 4 years ago now, someone told me about bullet journaling, and then how I could actually adapt it to my own use. So that's what I've been doing for almost 4 years, figuring out ways to make that work for me, as little complex stuff as possible, simplified, minimalistic, just what I need. And that's the long story short.
Excellent. So bullet journaling works for you.
Yeah.
Mechie first, because she is so excited about this.
Okay, so, I love the topic because, Blushing, I too was diagnosed very, very late. I was diagnosed last year when I was 29. So I had to live an entire life without knowing I had ADHD and thinking I had ADHD and find ways I watched every single productivity channel out there, and Michelle B, you call it, I watched it and I tried every single thing. And not everything I would tell you will work for you or for Terry or for Blushing or for whoever is listening, because everybody is different. But for me, for example, I have a lot of things to do. I run my little business on my own. But I found ways that helped me try to fit in as much as the things that I can do. And basically, I found that brain dumping every single night helps me a lot. Like the night before, I have a big day, but I do this every single day. Even if tomorrow is, Sunday and I have nothing to do, I'm still going to brain dump, because that's not only going to allow me to get more space in my brain, because it's always a mess. By doing that, you're also allowing to, you know, have new ideas and just deloading information. Then the following morning when I wake up, I go through my brain dump. And it's really a dump. And so I go in and I choose what, you know, the most important things that I have to get done for today, like three things, let's say. But I am terrible at time management. So sometimes I'll be like, I have to write a landing page for a client. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get this done in 2 hours. Nah, it takes me the entire day. So I'm still working on time management. And I would love to hear anyone's input here, because I always underestimate how long tasks are going to take me. But I do that. I try to time block my time. Don't turn off my phone, but just put it away, because I get easily distracted, like probably we all do. And also something that I started doing not long ago that I took from my boyfriend is I grab my Apple calendar and I add when I take my meds and how long it's going to take. So how long they last. And I try to fit in the most important things that I have to do for the day in that time. And another thing too is try to work when you feel your best. For some people, it's going to be in the morning. For other people, it's going to be in the night. It doesn't matter, as long as you can fit in. Of course, some people will have, like, you know, full-time job, 9 to 5, and you cannot choose maybe when you work. But if you work on your own, then I would suggest that you do that. But if you have your own business or something that you want to do, I found this very recently, delegating works beautifully. Anything you can delegate, try to do it, or build systems. I don't know, try to automate anything that you can do.
That is like literally, except for the, writing it down thing. I understand exactly everything you're saying.
Oh, it's good, because when you cross that out, it feels so good that you actually do it. That's like that dopamine. It's amazing. I don't know, for me.
It's amazing for me to delete the screenshot of the note that I took of what I have to do. Oh. And then set it as the background on my phone. It's a lot of steps, but we'll go through that in a little bit. Up.
Hello.
Autism.
Well, autism and OCD. So it's not just the autism on this one. I think the OCD probably has a bigger...
This is going to be an interesting organizational situation, I think.
Basically the exact opposite of Mercedes. I also have a near-eidetic memory, so I don't need to write anything down or to screenshot. I just have it in my head. So that's the biggest thing for me. It's just there. I can't... It's actually more of a distraction. To write down what I need to do would be a distraction. It'd be a waste of paper for me. It'd be a waste of a screenshot. Everything is done in my head, and I do everything at the same time. So as I said before, I have three screens in front of me. All of them have multiple tabs open, and I'm doing them all at the same time. I've spoken before, I'm doing, how many am I doing? Two master's degrees, an undergraduate degree, and a diploma in counseling simultaneously, because I find that easier than just trying to focus on one thing at once. Because the second I focus on one thing at once, it isn't getting done. And so I can't, like Mercedes was saying about the idea of having certain things and then going through them. I can't do that. I will just do them at once because I find it easier. It's just the idea of sectioning out each thing would just be mind-boggling to me. It's too silent. There's too much silence in my brain to do that. So for me, I just have to do it like that. I work best at night, always. I mean, for me, it's
Agreed.
It's 10:45 now already now. And I'll start doing stuff. I'll start making some videos tonight. I've got to do some stuff for my yoga instructor course tonight. So I'll do that as well. It's just easier for me to work at night. I think that's probably similar for most of us, I'm going to assume. Nighttime seems to be something neurodivergence come alive, like vampires.
It's because everyone else goes to bed so we can actually fucking do something.
Yeah.
And not be judged by it.
And like that's the thing. Delegation. I fucking hate delegating. Now RJ probably has picked up on this, given that RJ is a trustee of my charity, but if I can do it myself, I'll just do it because it's easier. So like some of the resources,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So some of the resources on the website, the resources, because I have the backing and the qualifications, I've done about 10 of them. Because I thought, well, why am I going to ask someone? I can just do it now. I've got a camera. I'll just do it. Like, why am I going to fuck around delegating to someone? I'll just do it. Like, if I contact somebody else, I've got to wait for them to get back. I've got to wait for them to read it, then get back. I can just do it now. So I'd rather do it now.
But are there things that you can't do right now that would be easier for you if you said, can you just, like for me, I hate writing emails. Hate it. Like, because I'm bad at grammar, I'm bad at all that kind of shit. But so Leo and Terry helped me with emails, you know, because it's easy to them to just 30 seconds goes by and they've written a whole page of you know what to do. Is there anything difficult for you that you could delegate or would want to delegate? Or
if
would
it's
that...
on my mental list, no. Because if it was something that I couldn't do, I wouldn't put it on the list in the first place. That would be pointless.
Now that I agree with, and I'll get to that too.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea, it's not going to be. When I was working as an admin, I was a programs administrator for a university, and I had charge of a massive amount of students. You know, a couple of thousand students. My day was finished by about 11 a.m. because most of the day was me watching YouTube. And then talking to students when they came in, because I'd done all the jobs, because apparently people needed to spread them out. And I'm like, I'll just do them at once. Let's just get them done. Let's get that done. Right. I'll go and have a coffee somewhere. And that's how I ended up doing more and more. That's why I ended up studying at the same time I was there, because it was just easier to do that than muck about. I don't understand. To me, I don't understand how people can just do that sectional one. It would destroy my brain to do that. Can't just single out one thing
More like the multiple things you do, the more multiple things you do? Like
I'm always having to do several things at once.
Right. You're doing, right. Okay. So
not necessarily the more I do that, the more I do. It could be the same amount of stuff I'm doing. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm just going to add stuff to it all the time,
right?
But I can't go down to one thing. If I go down to one thing,
got it.
I just want to do it. I'll just be like, right, okay, let's just go for a beer.
So it's got to be, okay, got it. Okay, that makes sense. Both of y'all, actually, it's playing in perfectly to this. I want to go with Justin, ADHD organizational opinions. What do you do?
Hello, everybody, by the way. Look, I'm a bit of a basic bitch where this stuff is concerned. There'll be things like lists, and there will be conceptually divided lists like in, out. In is at home, out is not at home. If I write a list, I feel very aware of what's going on. If I don't write a list pretty much every day, there can be a mountain of things that I need to do that I'm periodically not aware of. One thing that I struggle with conceptually that I'd be interested in asking other people's opinions on is the delineation between the kind of everyday of life kind of stuff and the business that we build on that everyday of life kind of stuff. So because I've got a family and because I've got three teenage children who wish to destroy my soul and my house, I do spend a period of time, because they're here sort of every second week, it gives my life kind of a clunky ace. I don't know how to put it. If something is there every week, there's a rhythm to it. even if there's more bulk work to do. But because they're not here every week, then I struggle insofar as rhythm and cadence is concerned, because it's like lots of time, no time, lots of time, no time. Some of the strategies that I use are something as simple as a clock. Now, by a clock, I don't just mean like the watch on your wrist. I mean a highly visible digital clock right in front of you. Something as simple as that, because I have one to my right now that's like next to the TV. And when I'm with the other half, it just allows me to go to bed at the right time. And it is a distinctly different level of time awareness to, you know, yes, you've got time on your watch and yes, you've got time on devices, but that's one more step to get that time awareness rather than just having it in front of you. So I'm going to put one in every room of the house. But the people's attitude toward the basic human functioning self versus the business self would be interesting to me. It's also a boundaries issue. Prioritizing me over prioritizing other people, because when you come from a codependent background, it's very easy to go, I am here to please you. Please take my time. Take my soul. It is worthless. I'm very keen to now the attitude I've tended to take is to be proud of reorienting just being a human being and not having crap around me. So yeah, I want to have clean floors because I want to be a human being who is functioning. But there's a conflicting part of me that goes, well, maybe that's just not meant to be me. What am I giving up as a consequence of that? Is that impractical? Is that unsustainable? Because if I am what I am, do I need to have a different attitude towards these things? I think as a someone who's got a family, I need to sort of set that attitude, set that kind of standard. But apart from that, Google Calendar. I struggle with Google Calendar just in the sense that I will do things like try to set up reminders to scaffold routines. And I found I would just get reminders and then I would ignore the reminders on my phone. So I guess the most leveraged question I can ask, especially in the presence of Senior Up, is the distinction we all make between the everyday and the content creation business vibe, because I can sometimes find when my people go, this place is fucking filthy. And I do have that day reset of like, okay, now I will get the smell out. And it can be all consuming. So I felt like I spent a lot of time yesterday on that. And there's other stuff I would have wanted to have gotten done. I felt good about the stuff I got done, but yeah.
I don't push the distinction between, so for content creation, for instance, because you mentioned it, and everything else, they're not separate for me. It's very much the same thing. So when I do YouTube videos, for instance, which is where I come from, I don't have a script because of my memory. I just start talking. They are one take and that's it. So I don't try and separate. I just say as I would do when I'm on here. It's why my podcasts are where they are when I do them. It's why I do things the way I do it, because I just go, this is how I'm going to talk, this is how I'm going to do it. So I don't separate it. It's why my content creation, apart from the friendly channel, is sweary and aggressively friendly. Because...
aggressively friendly. I like that.
Because that's just who I am. And I'm just going to carry that on to the content creation. If I try and separate it, I would then be focusing. And if I have to change the way I'm doing something to focus on one thing, then it will go to shit.
That makes
me You've actually done me a huge favor, just in the sense of that I think is the model for me. Okay, aggressively friendly. Hi, how you doing? I will yell my love at you. I will yell my love into your life.
All right, we have a decent amount of people. We have to move on. I'm sorry, but that is perfect. I'm glad y'all got something out of that. I have so many for the end of this. Terry, I would like to go with you next on organization and ADHD / autism or whatnot.
So first I want to say today I finally listened to the episodes with Up for the Challenge and RJ, and I loved them both. And I have to say there was something, RJ, that I was like, I need to, this is like, quote, perfect, about like not having self-esteem, not even about like negative or positive self-esteem, just having zero, like not giving yourself credit or feeling like you deserved it, like not being the main character in your story. I was like, that was like, that hit me today. So I think a lot of times too with women, we just, society already sees us as the ones who should be more organized, especially when it comes to like home stuff or, you know, all the fucking boring stuff that, so then it's like a double shame whammy with ADHD. 'Cause it's like, I don't even have a desire to be like that, you know, let alone anything in me to be able to do it. But actually, I've kind of, I'm questioning the definition. Like, what's your definition of organization? Because what I'm looking at it now is not like, okay, things are neat and everything's like, I guess neat is really the only fucking word I could think of for that. But think of it, it's just, it's a way to help with the ease of use of shit in your life. So where I'm at right now, I might be a little bit different than everybody because I've kind of taken some time off of work. So I don't have like work stuff I have to do with getting shit done or appointments and all of that. But I've kind of been trying to set these organization systems to make my ease of use, ease of, you know, availability and everything for, really what I've been working on lately is like my well-being, just like overall. And which has an emphasis on my mental health for sure. But like some things like staying hydrated and, you know, taking my medication that's prescribed and then supplements to help with different things. I want to make sure I'm being mindful and like have movement and everything. So I kind of nightstand has like my medications, my supplements, vitamins, mineral, you know, whatever. And it's like the morning ones and then to then the end of like the ones that would be at nighttime so that I like don't even confuse it. And then I've been coloring and drawing a lot lately. So I even made like myself a pretty list of like health matters and everything. So then I have like the different color coordinated as well to make sure like, okay, I have that. So I'll put like little tiny reminders in my planner. Just like, okay, did I move, you know, in the past few hours? Like I need to make sure I'm moving, put H2O because I need to be like hydrating. And even like things about like, okay, with this medication, make sure you have a full glass of water with it. This, you know, supplement, make sure you like, you don't take it on an empty stomach, like that. You know, that's not really organized, but like I said, I changed the definition for myself. It's like, fuck organization. Right. I'm making shit easier for me.
That's what organization is making it easier for you, no matter what the fuck it, like who cares?
Right.
If it works for you, it works. RJ next on organization. How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Terry, I understand. I understand everything. So I'm sorry that we're in the same boat with that. For organization, this is kind of an interesting topic because I am anti-organized, like about everything. Like I just see it and I grab it and let's go. If I don't see it, it's not there. Like for real, that's my life. So I recently moved and I'm like in the middle of making my life more organized for the same reason Terry is. It's got to be functional for me. So what do I have to do to make things more functional? And I'm going like room by room, but I'm not doing closed cabinets in a lot of my house because I've realized this past couple of years, I can't have closed cabinets because then they disappear. So like in the kitchen, my pantry is open. It's like just a regular shelf. And my pans are sitting on regular shelves as well because I'll forget that I have this pan and I'll use something that works, but it's not the right pan. And I'll be like, wait a second, I do have that. And then I'll go and I'll grab it. So like, that's how I've made things easier for me. And then it's also easier for my kids as well to help them understand organization because it's not something I was taught as a kid in general. And then also learning now I have ADHD on top of it. Like I grew up in a doom mess. So that's what I live in now is a doom mess.
So it's visual for you. Like you have to see it 100%.
A lot of it. And yeah, like it's my phone, notebooks, different notebooks that are color coordinated for different things. But if I think about something and I don't have the right notebook around, it's whatever notebook I grab. And it's like, it's going in there. And guess what I'm not going to do? Rip that page out. So I got to dig through and find it. So now I got these for if I really need to know where I have a book.
There you go. That's
but awesome. I think part of being like a high voltage line tech that's worked for me is that there's a step process that's made. And if you don't follow those steps, you make a really big arky sparky in your face and it's not fun. I have all the post-it notes too. And it's, I've started to utilize my calendar more and it's not that I have the alerts. It's that I look every day. Okay. Do I have something today? What time is that at? All right. What do I think I can get done before that time? And then sometimes today is a good example. If I'm really excited about something, I get that paralysis and it's like, I can't do anything leading up because I can't be late. So I was actually in this Zoom call 10 minutes early and just sitting here by myself, just chilling.
I got that email. I was like racing to get to my fucking computer because I was like, shit, someone's already joined. Like they cannot have this.
I couldn't think of anything else to do. So I was like, I'm just going to jump on because otherwise I'm going to be late. And I'm really embracing the fact that like, this is me. Like this is me. And so what can I do to make things functional for me instead of trying to make myself more functional for everything else? And like, that's how I've embraced organization. And it does mean that my desk is messier than everybody else's. It does mean that things are all over the place and sometimes I don't want to clean and things like that. But it also means that like I have less stress because I'm making things functional for me.
Right.
Instead of me trying to be more functional for it. And it's just, that's kind of been the big shift that I've had really the past couple of months. And it's been everything for me personally.
That's awesome. I resonate with that a lot because the most dangerous question I'm asked by my wife is, can we take your car? Fuck no, we cannot take my car because my life is in my car and you can't get in it. I've got shit everywhere, but it makes sense to me. So I don't ever I don't care about those kind of things at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I get that a lot. Leo, organization and ADHD / autism. Autistic here that we can get some insight from.
So it's really funny because when I was listening to Mechie and Up talk, I'm like right in the middle of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Up, I've got a very good memory and I have to be doing multiple things at once. However, I also have the complete inability to estimate how much time something will actually take. And so typically I'm doing like five things at a time on a day, you know, at any given day that, you know, might actually take like a week to do each. And, you know, I have a really good, like, overall memory and a terrible, like, working memory. It's like everything is in there, but it's not indexed very well. And I can't access it unless I link it to something else.
And don't forget, you forget to remember. That's what it is.
And I found that, you know, writing things down and then never looking at them again is actually a really good way to just cement it in and, like, make it accessible. So I have all these notebooks that I've written in, and I don't think I've ever looked at them again. But just the act of writing it down is enough to typically solidify it. Now,
I get that. Yeah.
Because I end up trying to do many complex things, I've found that I like to fall back on automations anywhere I can, because that allows me to just, you know, not worry about stuff. And, you know, that's also one of the rare things that can actually get me to focus. So a lot of times I will focus on building these elaborate systems instead of doing what I'm actually supposed to be doing, which, you know, is good and bad, right? And one of the things that I realize that I typically do is I estimate time as like whatever part I happen to be focused on now. And then everything after that takes zero time because it's not right now. And so it's, you know, it's one of those, it's like, the only thing that actually has any duration is like right now. Everything else has no actual time associated with it.
Oh yeah.
By being able to fall back on automations and systems that allow me to do things fast, then all of a sudden I can start blowing through, a number of different things at once, because I'm able to just, you know, do like one small task and have it kind of kick off a whole line of things. And, you know, for a long time, all of my systems that took care of that stuff were very much like work focused, because that's kind of where we, you know, where I was focusing on doing this. But only pretty recently have I started trying to bring that into like, you know, my personal life. And so I have, you know, like dashboards and Notion set up that, again, I don't actually update very often. And that's something I need to figure out how to get more in the act of doing, so I can kind of keep track of statuses and then just not have to worry about it. Because otherwise what happens is I eventually will get back around to stuff. But I'd like to make it more systemic in the sense that I can like batch processes, and you know, do things like that in kind of groups of related tasks, so I don't get stuck doing kind of the, you know, one thing here, one thing there. Oddly, one of the tricks I've always had to get myself to do things is to figure out how quickly I could do it. So the efficiency part plays in a big role. You know, it's kind of like triggering that competition against myself. It's like, oh, well, this thing sucks. I don't want to do it. So how fast can I do it? And then it becomes more about the speed than the actual task, which, you know, it has trade-offs, right? But at least it gets done.
Sounds like competition with yourself is what gets you to do.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That is getting to do things through self-competition. That I resonate with that too. This is going to be a combat. God, I don't know what to say at the end of this one, because I'd say bits and pieces. Blushing, bring us home on this, since you brought up the topic.
So, like, a lot of us have been talking about different ways that we organize things. But what RJ said about it has to be functional for you and for me and for all of us individually. Like I was saying, I use books to write in. I have this little palm-sized one that I'm using now and figured out what works with that and what doesn't. And then I have this big one, and I've had sizes in between. But it's not just the book itself. It is having lists, having things written down, so I don't have to have all of it in my head, because I can't. And it's de-stressing myself And over the first couple of years of doing this bullet journal thing, I found a way to not be upset with myself for the things that I didn't get done, be more realistic of what I could do in what amount of time. We're not talking one day, we're talking a week or 2 weeks or a month. And also figuring out how long do these things take? Because the ability to tell what amount of time something could take is not something that's built in me anyway. And I think a lot of us with ADHD don't have that ability. Some do, but many of us don't. So the being functional for you, figuring out what works for you and not listening to people say, oh, why don't you just use a planner? But also the being able to say, you know what, this thing is not my strength. I need some help. That's organization too. And I like what Arde said about not having doors on things. I have medication right there, like Tara was saying, so you can see it. My water bottle is literally right here in front of my keyboard. And everything I need on a daily basis, yes, it's on the coffee table in the living room. Or it's here on the desk if I need it when I'm here. So basically, there's so many things we could do. And when it comes to organization of things like clothes, I do have a door on my wardrobe because I have a dust allergy, can't have it open. But it's all edges on t-shirts, for instance. I can see which one is where. I have hung shirts up, so I see exactly where those are. My pants also folded the way that I can see each one. Nothing is hidden, because if it's hidden, I don't own it. Yeah. Is that object permanence thing? It means you can't tell that you have it. You don't remember that you have it unless you see it. I want to basically say that a lot of people, when they think about organization, they think about homework, housework, school stuff, work that you earn money from, or voluntary work. For me, it's content creation, like a couple others here do too. Simplifying things in all of the things I do is something I've been doing. I have started creating TikTok videos, but I simplified that as well. There is the, just like Up was saying, you have them phone or whatever you record with. You hit the button, you talk. I don't have a script. I have an idea, but I don't have a script. And then I record it. I look at it, whether anything was like really, really wrong. Were there factual wrongs in there? Or no? Am I pretty happy with it? Is it acceptable? Yeah, okay. Hit the upload button after description and hashtags. It's all good. I'm done, right? And then if you have, for instance, in content creation, as an example, you are so focused on numbers, turn those numbers off. If you are able to do that elsewhere in life, don't focus on whatever people want to do, want you to do and reach a goal of this 100 something. If your realistic goal can be 50, set a goal for 50, you know?
That's awesome. Thank you, Blushing. So this, this is unbelievable, actually. Every single one of you mentioned something that I do, and it boils down to one thing a day that I do, which is the way I organize is, and Leo and Terry know this because they have seen the reality show, but I do 4 goals, 3 hours per goal. But those goals are not big things. They are small things. They are sending an email, taking a shower, doing those things. So in my brain, I'm tricking my brain in order to know that I'm ahead. So I have excess time to get the other things done or factor in the distractions. Because if you think something's going to take 2 hours, it isn't. Because you're going to get distracted, especially if you have, you know, ADHD, which is why, like, I like to work alone. And I don't like people around me when I work. And I don't like the body doubling thing. I don't want a single distraction. And So, but you got to factor those in. I mean, if you're married or you got a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever you have, the second you get home from 9-to-5 job, they're going to say, can you do this? It might only take 3 minutes, but you're going to do it. But those 3 minutes pile up. So if I can send an email in 3 hours, if that is a goal of mine, I send one email, that's 3 hours. I'm good if I sent that email in 30 minutes. I'm 2.5 hours ahead of where I thought I should be. And I played this out on the show that Leo and Terry have seen. And I said, it is 11 a.m. I am leaving work, not going to work, leaving. 4 goals, 3 hours a goal. At the worst case scenario, I'm in bed by midnight. And I literally, after all of those things, got to bed at midnight. Because you have to factor in the distraction portion of it. So when you set a goal of time, that's the one strategy that has really worked for me in terms of is to make goals not the biggest things you have to get accomplished that day. Make goals the smallest things. Because when you do that in your brain, you have the confidence of like, I got something done. I got something done. I got something done. One thing leads to the next that leads to the next. So that you can attack those big things and beat them badly when they come up. That works for me. It's not going to work. Again, this is all individual things. In terms of what you said of, I can do it right now, 100% agree. 100% agree. I cannot, because if I don't do it right now, it's going to be in the back of my mind as to why on earth did I not do that. But if I have done those four things, those smaller things, then I have time to address the things that actually matter. I don't differentiate.
That's the weird thing to me, that there is no small and big things. They're just things to be done.
It's just
the things that need to be done. It's really weird.
I agree with you on that because it stays in the back of our brain.
Yeah, it's just there. It's really weird because there's things that I've heard everyone say that is so close to how I think and would do it, but just then at the last minute, not. Like what Blushing said about content creation, recording things, and then you said watch it back. I never watch anything back. I put a beginning on it, like an intro, and then an end on it. Like the podcast, just that there. I don't edit anything for shit. It's just immediately just straight on there. I don't care if I've said something wrong because I just haven't. There's my way of thinking about it. It's like I put in the thing. I have that weird mix of self-loathing and self-love of like, I agree I'm going to fuck it up somewhere, but I also think I'm better at this and it's done, out of the window. It's done straight away. I don't care. If I've done it wrong, somebody will tell me. And so far, the worst response I've had on YouTube was someone having a go at me for having gelled and graying hair. So apparently I'm not meant to look after myself for that. If that's the worst somebody can throw at me when I'm talking about people's conditions and educational videos, and that's the worst that's getting thrown at me, I'm good with that.
That's awesome.
You guys do content. I think something that works for me is try to recycle your content. You can, for example, this podcast could be like, you can then turn it into, TikToks and Reels. And you can also download the description and turn it into a email or also into an article, or an article could be turned into a podcast and a video and smart, and short videos. I love doing that because it saves you so much time.
What you just said is exactly what my whole thing is. Is all this content, you can recreate this. And that's why tonight, after this episode, I am posting something on YouTube. I'm starting something on YouTube. It's 5 minutes. Every single person that has been on this podcast is going to have a highlight video that I have made. And I'm not going to tell who the first person is, but we're going to go through the things that they have said that have been awesome and uplifting to everyone. Those are simply clicking and editing just what you remember them saying. They made an impact on your life. that is recycling content in a way that can really fucking help someone. We've been at it an hour. We have to do what are you most proud of? You know the drill. Justin, what are you most proud of this week?
I'm proud of the fact that I turned up. I have consistently of late turned up two things in a comfortable amount of time that I did not have to rush and could comfortably walk into said place with extra time for contingencies. I feel really weird about that. There's something weird going on, but I'm going to take that win. I did that.
Hell yeah. Nice work. I love it. RJ, what are you most proud of?
Really? Me?
Yep.
Oh, come on. I you know what I'm proud of? I went to the barber and got my beard taken care of. I called and made an appointment, made it there, and I took care of myself. And I'm proud that I took care of myself. So,
hell yeah. Love that. Blushing, what are you most proud of this week?
I am most proud of myself for this week after getting home from my England trip. Allowing myself to basically dump the laundry in the spot we have in the bedroom for it and not do anything else, not unpack the rest, not stress about it, not blame myself for not doing it, because I used to do that in the past. And then, well, I got COVID on this trip. I didn't know that until Tuesday morning. But I basically allowed myself to rest, and I'm still doing that. I'm pretty fine. I haven't been sick, but I said, you know what? My body's gonna get what it needs, and that's rest and hydration and food. And then looking after my partner, who's quite a lot worse than me. But yeah, I allow myself rest and not unpacking and fiddling around with things I don't need to do. I'm right, cooking, though, because you need to, but you know.
Yeah, the clothes don't matter. I mean, having laundry on the day, none of that shit matters. So I'm proud of you, Blushing. That's awesome. Terry, what are you most proud of this week?
Every single day, multiple times a day right now, don't quit. I'm proud of myself for that. It's been a rough go for a little while, and last weekend was kind of the worst in a long time, but I just said I need to buckle down, and I need to do things that are going to be good for me, or things that I might feel right now an uplift or energy or whatever, but then things that I know will compound and have a lasting effect. And I'm proud of myself for bringing the me that I know is hurting and struggling and hiding right now, bringing a piece of that me here tonight and laughing. I mean, it's fucking awesome to laugh, and I'm a natural laugher.
That's so great.
Silly, you know, and so I'm fucking proud of myself for not giving up, and that is multiple fucking times a day.
Mercedes, what are you most proud of?
I'm proud of, well, I don't know if I can be proud of it. I kind of feel like I'm up for the challenge here, but because I'm like proud of my toxic productivity, but at the same time I'm like not okay with it. And I started therapy not long ago to work on that, because it's too toxic. But I'm proud of it in a way, because it helped me do so many things. Like I wrote a book, I finished like 10 sales pages for clients that were like super, super long. I managed to build a team. I got new clients. I managed to get back into the gym like five times a week, which was a long time since I last did that. So I'm like kind of proud of something that is not good for my mental health, but I'm still proud of it because I've managed to do many things.
Leo, what are you most proud of this week?
It's a good question. It's been a hell of a week.
Me too, buddy. I'm just so.
I think honestly, I'm most proud of myself for kind of taking the long-term view on things. And so, especially during a week that feels like it's just kicking my ass, like up one side and down the other, I kind of look at it like it really doesn't matter in the long term. Like the individual wins and losses each day don't matter that much. The trick is not quitting. And as long as you can continue out, and if you're taking the long-term view, you know, any small thing that you manage to accomplish can actually, you know, pay out over time, that kind of compound interest, trying to not sweat the losses, because I hate losing. And you know, during these weeks, it's not always the easiest, but yeah, just gonna get back up and do it again, because you know, it's the kind of man in the arena mindset, if you will. You got to get back up and just do it all over the next day. So let's do it. Let's get in that arena.
I am most proud of myself this week for losing power and then getting a generator to run this podcast. No, what I'm truly most proud of is what is going to come out tonight on YouTube of Lobau Spark and Social Media Gardens with Leo, of creating short 5-minute video clips of people's highlights that have been on this show. And you're not going to know who the next one is each week to week. But if you don't get a DM from me, you might be the next one. But it is a loving, supportive, and motivational way of saying, look, you are awesome. If you can't create your own highlight reel, I understand. I'll create it for you, but here's the challenge. If you don't like it, you have to create a better one of your own clips. And what that does is that gets you to focus on, what music do you like? If you don't like the music I used, fuck it. Create your own. If you don't like the comments I chose, fuck it. Create your own highlight reel for yourself. What are you most proud of this week?
Keeping my mic off for the majority of this.
Okay, that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. But no, what are you most proud of?
What am I meant to be proud of? I hate this question.
I know. I know it's the hardest question for anyone to answer. But
because to me, if it's like, what are you proud of this week? Is it? There's nothing to
quit
be proud
rationalizing
of.
It away. What are you proud of this week?
Thank you, RJ.
You are talking to someone with OCD and autism to not rationalize.
Oh, I'm just telling you, answer the question. That's it.
There's no reason for pride if, as I've said already, I'm in the mix between self-loathing and self-love. That's a continuation of pride at some level. All the time. So there's nothing to be proud of if you're in a constant state of self-pride.
So what do you love about yourself this week?
Everything. That's kind of the point.
Excellent. Excellent. That's the greatest answer we've ever had. That is the fade out. That is the fucking fade out.